Yo, hello and welcome to Full Access Hoops. I'm your host, Corey Waldron. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the Milwaukee Bucks, and with me is Alexander Juno. Alex, how you doing, bro?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Obviously, the Milwaukee Bucks had a somewhat up and down season last year. We saw Jason Kidd get fired. We saw them become the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, where they lost to the Boston Celtics in seven games. What were some of your takeaways from last season with the Bucks?
I think the Jason Kidd firing was something that was a long time coming. People who follow the Bucks have wanted him out for a long time, or at least most of the people that I know. Getting him out was the first step in this kind of retool process that the Bucks are going to go through, where they have the most important piece in basketball. They have their superstar, but they need to put the stuff around him and put the coach in place. The matchup with the Celtics was really the best that you could have asked for, just because of all the guys they were missing. I don't think they would have been as competitive against the Sixers or the Raptors based on how those games went this year. But I think what we got out of this season was proof that Chris Middleton can be, you know, a top three player for a really good team. And we got further proof that Giannis is not only great, but he's getting better every year.
Yeah, Antetokounmpo, I think, especially with the hot start he had to start this season, he basically was in the MVP race all season in some form. And I agree. I mean, if he develops any sort of jump shot, Antetokounmpo is going to be an absolute force, and already is projected to be probably the best player in this league within the next 5 years. One of the big moves the Bucks made last year was trading for Eric Bledsoe. What was your first impression of Eric Bledsoe as you got to see him for three quarters of the year?
I thought he would fit a little better. I don't know how much of that was Jason Kidd and then Joe Prunty not being able to fit him in, but his lack of shooting and this kind of you-go-I-go system that they ended up playing on offense didn't work out as good as it possibly could. The Bucks were very good with Eric Bledsoe on the court when you look at on-off ratings and stuff like that. A lot of that was due to them not having a bench and the fact that Bledsoe gets to play with Middleton and Giannis, but he was good. He played good defense for him this year. He was one of the league leaders in steals. A lot of that's gambling, but he is somebody who gives you a pretty good effort on defense. Unfortunately, he withered in the playoffs and looked absolutely horrible. Scary Terry took total advantage of him, and then Eric Bledsoe couldn't really back up any of his trash talk.
Right. The my favorite, who's he? I don't know who that is. I agree a lot with what you said about Bledsoe. I thought he was going to be a lot better fit, and obviously he struggled to transition for whatever reason. Brogdon missed a lot of time this year, and Thon Maker didn't really make a jump that I think a lot of people expected him to make. What were some of your thoughts on Brogdon and Maker this year?
If Malcolm Brogdon's healthy, they probably win 50 games. I think they ended up with 45 or something like that.
44 and 38.
Okay, so... yeah, I think they win probably six more games. The bench was really bad, and even though he was starting, having him and Bledsoe healthy gives them another guy. This year will be kind of key for him. If he can't stay healthy, it's going to be kind of bad for him going into free agency, but he's a guy the Bucks got to make a decision about next summer, and he looked really good this year. He was able to do some shooting off the dribble, especially from three, that he didn't really show in his rookie year. And being able to shoot off the dribble is huge in this league. So if that is a serious part of his game going forward, he's a different player.
Right.
And in regards to Thon Maker, I don't know if he's just a guy who looks better in the playoffs because he gets to play against the same people and he's a smart guy, but he's got to show something this year in the regular season. Otherwise, the Bucks are going to have to get a different answer at center. He's talented. He showed an ability to shoot and he can block shots, but if he can't rebound at a sufficient rate, I don't know if he can be a league regular at center.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I think, Thon Maker in the regular season, I was disappointed by his lack of play. And then obviously, John Henson gets hurt in the first round against the Celtics and Thon Maker comes in and then insert, high energy, tons of blocks. I think you're right. If he plays like he plays in the playoffs throughout the season, then Thon Maker definitely can fit those expectations everyone has. So who was your favorite player? Is the easy answer Antetokounmpo? Who was your favorite Buck to watch this past year?
I really love watching Giannis and Middleton play. Middleton continues to be just a revelation, and the fact that metrics love him, everything seems to love him. He's one of those guys who people who think they're really smart about basketball fall in love with because he does everything well. But I think my answer for who my favorite guy to watch this year would be Sterling Brown, the Bucks' second round rookie. He was able to just give them this sort of energy whenever he played, and people affectionately refer to him as just one of those hard-nosed players that you don't want to play basketball against. And I'm looking forward to see what year two kind of brings for him.
Ooh, that's a good pick. That surprised me. Obviously, anytime you're watching your team, it's a ton of moments and plays that stick out. What was your highlight player moment from this past year? What moment stood out to you?
When Giannis jumped over Tim Hardaway on an alley-oop. I don't think I'll ever forget that.
Knocked away and stolen. Here's Middleton. Giannis trailing the lob. Oh! That boy was up there.
That was definitely one of the most hype plays I remember seeing this past year, too. Overall, was this season for the Bucks successful or a disappointment?
It's got to be a disappointment. Jason Kidd should have been gone before this, so I can't just take the firing of Jason Kidd as the best part of the season. But the Bucks over Vegas over under was 48.5. They were four games under that. So for me, they got to start winning 50 games and they got to win a playoff series. I think I feel a little bit differently if they beat Boston, but they didn't.
Right. So now looking at this offseason, you obviously got a new head coach in Mike Budenholzer. What are your hopes and expectations with Mike going forward as the head coach?
I think that everybody on the roster stands to gain a little bit. I think that the offense they'll run will get Giannis a little bit more space, and we'll see him kind of shoot a better percentage around the rim, which his percentage around the rim is already fantastic. But I'm looking to see kind of what the other guys get from this, because we know what Giannis does. Giannis was fantastic last season, despite not having a very good coach. We're going to see what the wings kind of benefit from. You know, he had this reputation, him and his staff, when he's bringing five out of six guys from his staff, have this reputation for developing wing players like they did with Kent Bazemore and Torian Prince. So I want to see kind of what Sterling Brown, what Chris Middleton, what Tony Snell get out of this experience. I want to see how the offense changes a little bit. I think that your expectations have to be something around 52 wins. The Bucks just have to keep moving forward, and I think they have to be a top three or four seed this year. And if they're not, I think it'll be viewed as a disappointment.
Yeah, I think I fully agree with you on there. Now, obviously, the Bucks don't have a ton of free agents, but they have Jabari Parker, Jason Terry, Shabazz Muhammad. Obviously, Jabari Parker is the big free agent name for the Bucks. What are your expectations as he heads into free agency as a restricted free agent?
So we got kind of a conflicting report in a piece that Chris Sheridan wrote today. He said that Giannis does not enjoy playing with Eric Bledsoe and Jabari Parker. I don't know what his source is on that. At the end of the season, they asked Giannis about Jabari's impending free agency, and he said, don't worry about it. He'll be back. We're going to play in the new arena together. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think that kind of Bucks Twitter and Bucks fans are torn about what they want to see happen. He's a player who, when he's at his best, he looks like an all-star, a top 20 player. And when he's at his worst, he doesn't look like he should be getting rotation minutes. He's got to figure out the defensive end of the floor, and he's somebody that maybe he works with Coach Budenholzer and his staff, and he becomes a much better defender. He did show in games 3 and 4 of the playoffs that he can play very good defense. His on-ball defense on Marcus Morris and I want to say it was Jaylen Brown, might have been Jason Tatum, was just phenomenal at moments during the series. But at other moments, he didn't look like he cared. And part of that's working back from his second ACL tear and what that's going to look like going forward. If I had to guess, I'm going to guess that he's back and it's at something like 4 years, $60 million, something around the $15 million in a year range. But it could really go anywhere.
Now, what are you more concerned about when it comes to Jabari Parker, his spotty defense or the two knee surgeries already and, you know, that the issues that come with obviously, breaking down what seems to be almost yearly for him?
That's a really tough one. I think that there's, a way you could argue for each of them. I think the knees scare me. If he had torn each of his ACLs, I would feel less worried about it. But it's the fact that he tore the same ACL twice. He tore it in his, I don't remember which knee it was. I want to say it was his left knee twice instead of left and right once a piece. I just don't know if you tear it twice, you know, what's the difference? What's preventing you from ever tearing it again? He's a guy who plays with a very aggressive style that's kind of herky-jerky when the way he drives to the lane. But he looks slimmer when he came back. I think he's at the lowest playing weight he's ever been at. So maybe it's fixed going forward, but I think the knee thing has to scare you more.
Right. So now, aside from Jabari Parker, what are your expectations on free agency and the draft? Do you think they'll keep their draft pick? Is there anyone in the draft that stands out to you for Thursday?
I got this gut feeling that they grab a wing, somebody who projects to eventually be a 3-and-D type of guy. Guys I would be looking at would be like Dante DiVincenzo, Zaire Smith, and Kyrie Thomas. I think they grab, you know, one of those guys, and I think they might buy a second-round pick and take somebody kind of in a similar vein, maybe like a Grayson Allen if they can. I am a little, I guess I don't expect them to do much in free agency. They have their mid-level exception, so they could use that and grab somebody who would be a solid contributor. But beyond that, I don't think they can really do much without serious trades and overhauls. If they could get somebody to take the Matthew Dellavedova or John Henson contract and they let Jabari walk, they might be able to work up something. But really, I would just look at the exception as the only way that they can do something. And with that, you're looking at a role player rather than a starter.
Right. Just piggyback on that, do you think they possibly move Dellavedova or Henson this year? Do you think that's possible, or do you think it's likely they're going to have to hold on to those two guys?
I think it's likely they're going to have to hold on to those two guys. I think the only way you would see it is if they're taking on somebody else's bad contract in exchange for it. I could see if a team got a bad injury over the summer, like some team's backup guard tore their ACL and they're looking for a guy, you know, Matthew Dellavedova can come in and he's played playoff minutes and he's going to give you something. But for the most part, I think they're stuck with those guys.
Right. Any final thoughts, Alex?
No, I think that fans should look for the Bucks to take a step forward next year and for them to look like a totally different team under a new coach, but nothing really more complex than that.
All right. Do you want to plug in your Twitter or anywhere else you would want people listening to the show to follow you on?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JunesFishes, and you can find my writing on CreamCityCentral.com, a website that covers Wisconsin sports.
All right, beautiful. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Full Access Hoops. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at KWallHoops. Follow Full Access Hoops on Twitter at Full Access Hoops. You can check us out on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Again, Alex, thank you for hopping on. And that's going to wrap it up for this episode.